Welcome here to Wake Up Call DT.com, your one-stop sports shop, home on the internet of Dan Tatora Broadcast Media. I want to thank, first and foremost, Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley for being at the event that you're about to hear, the live interactive show that we had at Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill in Syracuse, inside Destiny USA on the third floor. Make sure you check out Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill in Destiny USA on the third floor. Had the event there. Jerome Smith was scheduled to do the event, former Syracuse Orange running back who is just coming off the NFL Combine, getting ready for Syracuse Pro Day and the NFL Draft. And he was joined, and I didn't even know that this was going to happen. Jay Bromley and I have built a relationship over the years, as I have with Jerome Smith. And I thought maybe, but had no idea for sure this was going to be happening, defensive lineman, formerly of the Syracuse Orange, Jay Bromley, showed up with Jerome Smith. So everyone that came out to the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media event at Toby Keith's inside Destiny USA got 2-for-1 as Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley sat down with me to do a live interactive show for the fans, signed plenty of autographs. We ran out of t-shirts. We're giving smalls to big, tall guys that said, hey, you know what? They like to squeeze into the small. So whether they're hanging it on the wall or squeezing into it, I appreciate them taking one. I got to sign a few autographs too, so thank you to the fans for that. I'm so used to having that happen with the athletes that I bring out with me, so it's truly an honor and very humbling to be asked to sign something and just hear from all of you. And I had a great time with everybody that came out. Toby Keith's was awesome. Everybody that showed up, the staff was great as well. So for those that came to the event, I know you had a good time. We talked on the air and off the air. For those of you that didn't make it out to Toby Keith's inside Destiny USA for my event with Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley, make sure that you do this. Like my page on Facebook, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, and on Twitter @calldt. Follow me there @CALLDT, and make sure that you're out for the next event, that you're coming out to that event and one of the people that gets the signed autograph, that takes a picture with the sports figure, that gets to talk with me and do the live interactive show. So don't miss out on the next opportunity. This live interactive show playback is to show you what you were missing and for everybody that came out to the event to give you an opportunity to hear it back again. If you missed anything, went off to the bathroom, stepped outside for a second, this is the live interactive playback of Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley, formerly of the Syracuse Orange, hoping for their name called in the NFL draft with me. For Dan Tatora Broadcast Media, Black Tie Entertainment, that provided the orange lights that are just awesome. I mean, they are sick. It's just the way to have an event is through Black Tie Entertainment, because the sound systems there, the mics that you hear us on were Black Tie Entertainment, speakers, Black Tie Entertainment, sound system, music in the background, Black Tie Entertainment, and then Bill from Black Tie Entertainment that owns the company, he was able to bring us this orange uplighting that, while Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley and I are talking, there are orange lights surrounding us, which was just, it was truly amazing. And I can't thank Bill enough. So Black Tie Entertainment, you definitely want to make sure that you check them out. You call them for your next event, whether it be a wedding, a bar mitzvah, any type of party, anything, event that you have going on. Black Tie Entertainment is the team that you need to call. So take down this number, 315-492-7985. That's 315-492-7985. That's the number to Black Tie Entertainment. You can also email them at blacktiedjs@yahoo.com. That's blacktiedjs@yahoo.com. All one word. Call up Black Tie Entertainment, email them, and if you want to get a taste of what they can do, make sure you come out to the next Dan Tatora Broadcast Media live on-site event. I loved having them out there. I loved having Toby Keiths and their staff were just phenomenal, putting everything together, seamless as it can be, did everything that we needed to have. So thank you to Toby Keiths and Joey over at Toby Keiths that helped make this whole thing possible in Destiny USA. I want to thank Destiny USA for their support. Once again, Black Tie Entertainment, and of course, my company, also bringing it all together, Dansatora Broadcast Media, and the gentleman that made it all possible, Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley. So without further ado, I want to bring you our live interactive show from Toby Keith's on the third floor of Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. God bless, enjoy, and I can't wait to see you at my next event. Welcome here to Toby Keith's here in Destiny USA. Very happy to have with me Jerome Smith, who was scheduled to be here tonight, and then Jake Bromley, who decided to come in because the defense always has to be here to block up against the running back here. So I'm happy to have Jerome Smith and Jay Bromley. I'm Dan Satora here with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. We're going to be doing free autographs, pictures. The t-shirts here are free, so if you want to grab one, take one. And in just a few minutes, we're going to start our first interview session here. Both of these gentlemen were at the NFL Combine. Only a few people get asked to do that around the country, so give them a round of applause for being part of the Combine. And I'll be talking with you in just a few minutes. We're here at Toby Keith's in Destiny USA. Jay Bromley, Jerome Smith. Some of you asked questions when you came up here to talk to both of the guys. We're going to get into it. First and foremost, I'm going to go to Jerome first. NFL Combine, you both got out there, got to show what you had. What did you take away from the NFL Combine, your experience there?
I better get out there and keep working. It's a great opportunity to get a chance to play in front of 300 guys who are considered the best in the country. So it was a blessing to be out there and have a chance to go there.
And Jay, what about you?
It was a great experience overall, just being out there, like you said, the best of the best, and to show that you belong there. You know, we both, you know, put up some numbers, we're very confident in the combine, and some numbers that we aren't. And we just want to keep working and get better for me.
When you guys have an opportunity, and Jay, I'll start with you on this one. You have a pro day coming up. Everybody gets a pro day, but not everybody gets the combine. How crucial is it for both of you guys to be able to have both of those opportunities before the draft tonight?
It's really big for us because it gives us an opportunity that not a lot of people get. Going into pro day, we don't have to prepare like a lot of the seniors that we have on our team or people that don't have the combine have to prepare because we get to choose what we're going to do. Like, I know at the combine, I won't be running number 40, you know, it's because I did that already, you know. So it allows you to, you know, be flexible about what you want to do and just keep working from there on what you need to improve on.
Unfortunately, and it's a positive thing, you get an opportunity to see what you really need to work on one more time before you got to do it again. Like Jay said, he won't be running a 40. I will be. I will be running one more 40, just to clarify that. But it's good when you got a chance to do it twice and you're a little bit more comfortable, you're in your home. It's a comfort level inside of Manly, and you're running where you've always been running for the past 4 years. So it'll be good for us.
Now, everybody that's here, for the most part, doesn't know William Hicks. Coach Hicks, for you, is strength and conditioning-wise, getting you ready, getting you prepared. He's one of the guys in the shadows that you owe a lot of success to, I feel, and get yourself prepared. And Jerome, I want to start with you about what Syracuse has done to help you grow and what a guy like William Hicks has done to help you sit here today and be an NFL prospect.
First of all, Syracuse has taught me how to grow up fast. When you come into college, wherever walks of life you're from, wherever you're from, most kids my age were immature. So it helped you grow up, and the strength and conditioning part with Coach Hicks, he treats you like a man and makes you work hard, and he encourages you to push each other. And he always talks about us being in shape at the end of the year because we run a lot. We run a lot. Every day is run day at Syracuse. So we always do account some of our fourth quarter wins to all the running that we do in the fourth quarter of the summertime. So So he always gets us ready for the season.
And Jay, what about you, Coach Hicks?
Coach Hicks, he's a different kind of guy. But he's one of the, probably the greatest guys I've met in Syracuse, you know. Probably trustworthy and honest about what he does for us as players. He really molds you into the man you become more than your senior year, especially getting ready for the NFL. You know, and his NFL guys come back all the time, like Dwight Freeman, because you can't get Coach Hicks nowhere else. You know, and he really makes sure that you're in shape, and he can create workouts that you really never knew about that, that'll put you through the ring and have you dying. So he definitely prepared me and Jerome for the next level and allowing us to take our next steps in the NFL.
Before we take our first break here, later on I want to talk about the Texas Bowl. I want to talk about Scott Schaefer, but before we end here on this one, what do you take away the most from Syracuse that's helping you get ready for this next step? I mean, you bring up Dwight Freeney, obviously Foy Little, Ernie Davis, if he had been around, Jim Brown for everything that he's done. There's so many guys that have made it to the NFL and been successful from Syracuse. What do you take away from Syracuse that you think is the best thing that you've learned or where you've grown the most?
I would say the history, you know, because it doesn't matter when you start, it's all about when you finish. And Syracuse has a very rich history of great players and bringing different values now, like, you know, Ernie Davis and Floyd Little. So I only take that away. I'm saying that anything is possible. Don't you believe in yourself and get what you're going for.
And Jerome, what about you?
Along with Jay, what he said about history, I mean, just from being at the Combine this past week, it's a different conversation when you tell somebody you play Syracuse, you play running back for Syracuse. Regardless of the history it's had in the past 10 years, the running back history of Syracuse is much greater than that. I know I met with over, I want to say, four Syracuse running backs that are now running back coaches in the NFL. And I mean, we sat back and had a conversation about Syracuse. So it's about the strong history that we've got, and especially for the position at running back.
We're going to take a break here. Toby Keats in Destiny USA. When we come back, we're going to talk about Scott Schaefer. We're going to talk about the success of this team. We'll talk about that BC win. And I think we may have to talk about if I put you up against each other right now, which one of you would be more successful. We'll be back here at Toby Keats. Wait a couple of days. Here with a very special guest, Jerome Smith, running back for Syracuse, now on to the NFL, getting ready for Pro Day. Jay Brockley, defensive lineman, also getting ready for Pro Day. And two guys that got to go to the NFL Combine, which is on a very short list of people to get invited to do something like that. I want to talk about who would win in a one-on-one contest, and obviously in practice, a thing that people won't get to see. But before we go there, Doug Marrone, you had him, so let's talk about him first. What did you take away from Coach Marrone? And obviously he moved on. Some SU fans get upset that he took a lot of the coaching staff, but what did you take from him as a player?
He was always a professional. Coach Marrone, he ran the program in a professional manner, and I mean, you really appreciate that. Being at the next level, you'll talk to certain coaches, but some of the knowledge we have already, most NFL coaches are surprised that we know, because it's a game where most people are immature at this age. But, I mean, a lot of the things we know as far as being professional, how to handle ourselves.
And Jay, what about you?
Coach Marrone really told us how to grow up fast, you know, because he made sure that when he was here, he instilled, you know, a lot of different things in us that made us, you know, be him. You know, like, we had to be groomed before we went to games. We had to wear the shirt and tie. We had to, you know, cook with the earrings around the facility or the meeting rooms. It was things that, you know, we go, you know, we're done, you know, all kids wear earrings in the meeting room, we ain't practicing, but it wasn't about the earrings, it was about the discipline, the unity, because, you know, it's a work environment, you know, so he told us how to really act accordingly.
Now, kind of going off of that, I see that Jay is clean shaven, Jerome is not, you're both wearing earrings, so I guess the respect you have for Marrone you don't have for me when you come here.
We got new rules.
I don't know about that, man.
We got new rules.
Yeah, we got new rules, man. You know, we don't technically really play the Syracuse anymore, so we do. You know, we moved to our own tune. So Hopefully, she would not have a choice.
But let me ask you about this patch here. Is this going to stick with you in the NFL?
It will stick with me as long as my mom doesn't have a problem. Once my mom has a problem with it, it has to go.
Now, most people say when you're clean shaven, you're more aerodynamic. So will you take this off to run your 40?
Right now, I can race anybody in this room right now in a 40-yard dash, and I guarantee I'll beat them.
Would it pay you?
Except me.
Hey, what was your 40
time? I was a 49. I ain't gonna lie, he'll beat me.
Not fast enough.
Not by much. And I outweigh him by like 100 pounds. Let's put that
That's
in.
Debatable. That's debatable.
Let's go back to the Texas Bowl, and even before that, Boston College. Is there any better way now? Now, Jay, you were all set. You were going no matter what. Jerome, you had an opportunity to stay for another year, but let's just call this your senior year because you know you were going after that. Is there any better way to go to a bowl game than to do it against a former rival in BC, do it in the ACC, finish the way that you did, and do it in the last 6 seconds of a game?
There was nothing like it. Boston College race is probably, if not the best, the top three best games I've ever played in my Syracuse career. We won a lot of games on defense this year, giving the offense the opportunity to score that football and take it home. But they came up big that game. They came up big that game and helped us out a lot with Jerome Smith and T-Hunt and all the other guys who was this team, and we needed that. It was a great win, and the dome was rocking that night, so it's cool.
I was
happy because we did it in Syracuse fashion. We let that game go all the way down to the end. Same as the game in Texas. We just let it go down to the end, and we made our mistakes early, and we got stuff out the way early, and then we made our fans go crazy, and then we ended up with a win. So it was one of Syracuse fashion, and I appreciated that.
Now, keeping with that, Jerome, I'll start with you on this one. It seems like the football team can't hold on to having the rights of cardiac cues. The basketball team's kind of caught the virus a little bit, and they've made fans go all the way down to the end. Even Maryland, they're up by 12 four separate occasions, and they got to go down to that last second shot. Tyler Ennis has had a game winner in Pittsburgh. What is it about Syracuse players that you win games, but you got to cause all these poor people here to go to the hospital and go to Krause right down the road from the dome?
Well, it's a testament to our people. We got tough people. We're a tough team. We're a tough city. I'm old too. But yeah, it's a testament to our city, man. Our city is always behind us, and it's a tough place. It's a tough place. This cold weather, man. This weather makes you tough. So the way our basketball team is doing things, as long as they keep winning, I like it that way.
What about you, Jay?
I think it all comes down to us performing more than pressure. It's easy to walk away from a 20-point win or something like that and then feel good about yourself. But it really tests the team when you come down to the wire and it's the last seconds or it's the last drive and you have to make something happen. I mean, we don't need to put these people through that much stress in their hearts. And, we hear that all the time, but we make sure we make it exciting. Because if we lose one of our 50 every week, I mean, it would be exciting, but you wouldn't even have to watch the game because you know what's going to happen to it. So at least we like to, leave a little question mark in there.
And I want to start with Jay on this one. You guys have had the opportunity to play some of the best of the best in the ACC. You look at national champion Florida State, you look at Clemson in the Orange Bowl, and the only two teams that were above Syracuse was picked to finish second to last, and mind you, at ACC Media Day, I did not pick you to finish that far down. But I promise you that. I gave my word to Floyd Little, and you know his word. When you give your word is everything. So you fall behind Florida State and Clemson, but nobody else, and you look at what they did. How proud are you when you step back And no, it wasn't the BCS championship, it wasn't the Orange Bowl, but to be behind those two programs coming out of the Big East and this being your first time, what do you take away from that?
It was a great room. So, you know, our final season, my first season in the ACC, it was a great room. To finish behind those two programs, was, you know, we want to be number one, but we'll take that for the first year. We try to give those teams everything we had, and we fell short. Our team showed a lot of grit this year. It was games where, you know, we felt like, you know, maybe other teams might have some better players, but, you know, we gritted it out and worked hard, you know, and it showed in the character of our coaching staff, Coach Schaefer, and our position coaches that, you know, we didn't give up on any games. Even though every game came down to the wire, we made sure we were out there.
Our thing was, even if a team beats us really bad, the next day they're going to wake up and say, this is the hardest we've ever been hit. This is the most physical team we've ever played against. So although Florida State got up on us and Clemson got up on us, I had a chance to talk with Todd Boyd, the Clemson quarterback. He told us when Marquise hit him, that was his first time being hit all year. And that was really our goal, to be as physical as we were and hit the people as hard as we could all year round, whether we're winning or losing. We'll let that be the testament of who we are as a team.
Before we take our next break, I'm going to start with Jay and this and talk about hits. Jay and I talked about this on the Wake Up Call with Dan Sora before. You said your big message this season was to make sure that at the end of the game, every quarterback you went up against knew your name. They knew who you are. And you said there was one team that didn't happen, but that wasn't Florida State, it wasn't Clemson. You rose to the occasion, and you attacked Taj Boyd. You got after Jameis Winston. Go into your game and your effort and the type of player that you've become, because when you're playing Wagner, you're breaking through. When you're playing Clemson the next week, you're breaking through like that again. So you've really been a guy that's been able to rise to any occasion.
One thing that happened while we were at the combine, I was with Timmy Jernigan, the defensive tackle for Florida State. And he's one of the top defensive tackles in this draft. And one of the first things he said to me was, after the game was over, they all, Florida State's offensive line were talking about me. They were saying how good I was. You know, so that's coming from your national championship team. You know, so, but that's a testament to how hard I believe my work and the players I go against every day in practice. You know, I don't feel like, you know, there's anybody I go against that's too good for me. You know, I just work extremely hard and I treat everybody like a man that they deserve to be. But I did not deserve to be because I work hard. Like I said, I went to every quarterback that knew I was there. You know, it's a respect factor. Every player I went against, every team I went against, when I left off that field, they knew my name, they knew who I was, where my spots were. When you watch film, you knew you had to build me, and that's the way I like it.
Now, with you, Jerome, on this side for you, not this past season, but the season before, 1,000-yard rusher. Now, DeAndre promised you at the beginning of the season, running backs coach DeAndre Smith, he said, 3 touchdowns doesn't cut it, you're going to beat that. And you did beat that. You beat that very early on in the season. You killed it. So, got in the end zone more times. So, you've been a 1,000-yard rusher. You've been a multiple touchdown performer. What do you take away from your game? And was there a big difference, or did you feel a big difference between your 1,000-yard season and being the guy that's getting 6?
The difference was 2 years ago. Nothing against Terrell right now. He has room to grow, but we had a really good season quarterback in Nassar. You didn't really key in on a running game. You could care less about our running game 2 years ago. I think that's where we hurt people at, because we had a really good quarterback. This year, after being a 1,000-yard back and having Tyson come back, having George step up, having Devontae step up, having a running quarterback, most teams keyed in on us, and they put 8 men in the box. They put 8 men in the box, and it was just a little different this year. Teams were keyed in on the run, and like you said, going to the ACC, people were a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, so it was a little bit harder for us to run the ball this year. But Coach Smith did say double did the touchdown. A lot of people said I was alerted to the end zone. Dan, you might have been one of those people.
I wasn't.
But let you know I'm not allergic.
Dodger Stadium with one of your fellow linemen, Robert Welch. You not only intercepted the ball, but wanted to get the end zone so bad that he flipped over in the air. And I've never seen a lineman do that. Now, after that, you were a yard shy. And one of the things I said to Jerome, because I've never said that he was allergic to the end zone, is that once you're 5 yards or anywhere closer, it's like clockwork to you. You just make it happen. So as soon as it happens, you go in. So I want to ask you about two things. Have you ever seen a defensive lineman flip like that? And the second thing is, what did you do to improve yourself the most that you were that guy that as soon as you got close to the end zone, nobody had to worry about scoring?
I've never seen a defensive lineman flip like that. Even though I was kind of selfish, like hoping it was down on one because I wanted to score. What I worked on this summer, I kind of didn't make it such a big deal. I just knew I had to get back and work on it and make the goal line like the rest of the field. I had to be really physical when I get up there, punch it in because we needed the points. That's a change.
And what about you, Jay?
What you know about touchdowns?
Two things for you, though, Jay. First is Robert Welch. The second one is, why did none of these people ever see you flip and try and get into the end zone?
First thing about Robert Welch, that was a very athletic move he did for the person he is, and I'm going to give him that. So I applaud that effort that he gave that day. Appreciate it. But as far as me doing the flip...
Could you flip?
Come on now. I probably, you ever seen a big boy flip? I like to keep those things to myself. You know, I don't want to hurt my back or nothing. You know, I don't want to try to be nothing too crazy. But if I get an interception, then the difference between me and Rob is I'd have scored. That's the difference. Yeah, a little bit more speed with the score. So, I'll take that away from that.
This is speed conversation.
That's that 493 speed. We'll be back here at Toby Keith's in Destiny, USA. If you want an autograph, now's the time to come up and do so. Autographs, pictures with Jerome Smith and Jay Brownlee, formerly of Syracuse, on the way to the NFL. We're right here at Wake Up Call with Dan Sora from Black Tie Entertainment. Welcome back here to Toby Keith's Destiny USA. Wake Up Call with Dan Sora. This event with Jerome Smith, Jay Brownlee, proudly brought to you by Dan Sora Broadcast Media, Toby Keith's Destiny USA, and Black Tie Entertainment. And both of these gentlemen had a question that I brought up a couple times that I said was coming. And it's only fair to start here. Between the two of you, if I was to get a football that, you know, you guys would have to go up against each other, because one's a defensive lineman and one is a running back. If I was to put this football between the two of you and I was to call height, who's going to win the battle between you two?
He doesn't know what to do with a football. He's never scored a touchdown in his life, so he doesn't know. Like, he just doesn't know what to do with a football in his hand. I got me all day.
First of all, you haven't understood the question. I don't think you understood the question. He said that he put the football down and said, "Who would he get the football?"
Me.
I'm bigger. I'm stronger.
They're attacking you today. And you just had a nice conversation with that gentleman who was attacking you today.
They just bring it up in the past to me, so. That's obvious.
I'm good.
Now, I did promise both of these guys, and whether it's on videotape or not, if you want it on videotape, I'm okay with that, but I will run a 40 with Jerome and Jay before they go to the NFL. That's a promise.
He will lose to Jerome and Jay in a 40, but that's a promise.
But now, I gotta tell you, where do you think I'm gonna set up? You said under 6, but what's your number? Let's give an accurate number here that you think I'll run in a 40. Now, I had a knee injury as well, so fact of that, I'm back from a knee injury.
Now that you put the knee injury in, I got you with a 5'3". 5'3".
It's respectable. You do credit for it. I don't know if I'm giving them more credit. I haven't seen you run. I'm going to go 5'6". Awesome.
A 5'6 and a 5'3".
You can do a 5'6". If I was a betting man, who knows?
Look, I got you a 5'3".
At least I got a 5'3 for this man.
Listen, he's being generous.
How long will it
this
take?
This is from a guy that runs a 4'8 and a running back.
Look, how long will it take you to run this 40?
I got to do it with you before you guys are done.
How long is it going to take you to be ready?
I'll be ready.
How long is it going to take you to get that big game when you need it so you can warm up?
I'm saying, we need to know how long.
We got to do it within the next couple weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
How long do you need to train to get ready for this thing? I know you got to stretch. You can't just get out there and run a 40.
No, I'll do it. I'll take before pro day. I'll do it before pro day. Pro day is March 26th.
Hey, I think Jerome whispered in my ear he wants to add a stipulation. He said he'll run it barefoot. Is that correct?
Man, that would be easier for me.
That's easier. That is easier for Jerome.
No
easier.
Cleats?
No cleats. Use his toes as cleats.
It'd be lighter for me.
Okay. See, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I shave before I run.
So you're
going to have more aerodynamic.
Absolutely. If you want all the speed you can get, you need the arm cut.
I do. I shave it down really low. This is long for me. I'm going to shave it down really low. I might go bald for this thing.
Go bald.
All right, so we will run the 40, and we'll do it before March 26th.
Let's do it.
Okay. Now, besides that, Scott Schaefer, getting back to the field, we talked about Doug Rome. Scott gets this job. They keep it in-house. I know him personally. I've got to spend a lot of time with Scott. I respect him on and off the field, but I want to ask people that are in the locker room with him that know him so well, ins and outs. I mean, this is a guy that's always with you. What can you say about Scott Schaefer?
Oh, he's a cool guy. I just had a conversation with him the other day about, you know, how far, you know, I've come, and, you know, how far me and Jerome come from being freshmen coming to here small and not know a lot about life. And he's a good guy. He wants to see us be successful. You know, he sees us as young men now, you know, going to the, you know, latter stages of their careers in football, and wants us to be successful. So I appreciate Scott Shady giving us the opportunity, well, me the opportunity being a defensive player and allowing me to take it this far.
What can you say, Jerome, about Scott?
This past year, Coach Schaefer, he pushed me beyond my own limits, beyond what I thought I was capable of. He always kept me on my edge, never let me get comfortable. He's one of those kind of coaches. He's the kind of coach that if he sees you feeling yourself a little bit too much, he's the kind of coach that will bring you back down to earth and let you know it's still a team deal. He's also the kind of coach that invites you over to his house. Us and the seniors came over and we had a big barbecue. I mean, he showed you what a man is supposed to do, how you handle business, whether it's with your family or as a leader of 120 players and 30 coaches. He does a good job at managing both.
I got to ask you about, you brought up going to Scott's house. Now, they've taken pictures. They showed everybody the big pool parties that they have. What's it like having an entire football team in a pool? And can you all fit in the pool at the same time?
Well, Jason can't swim, so Jason usually stays in the short end.
Shallow side. Shallow.
He stays in
the shallow. See, there we go. If I lose the 40, I'll go in the pool with you.
Yeah, he don't want to do that.
You're going to win that one.
Yeah, I'll take that one. We got to even out before you go to the NFL. That's
unfair. Sometimes, we'll see.
So, I mean, we have a lot of players, since though we're a New York-based team, we have a lot of players that think they're basketball players. So a lot of people just play basketball, and not a lot of people get in the pool. Very selective. Most people are playing basketball.
What is Gene Brownlee doing when everybody else is swimming? What are you doing at Scott Schaefer's house? Are you cooking? Are you playing basketball? What are you doing?
He's trying to play basketball.
I didn't get that, Jerome. What did you say?
Trying to play basketball.
All right, that's cool. I think I play basketball very well. I'm from New York City, the mecca for basketball, just in case you didn't know that. And I play basketball all my life. And I can beat you any day, Jerome Smith, just to let you know. But, yeah, I don't do the whole swimming thing. That's not me. I I'm from New York City. I guess I just didn't learn how to do it. I can't float. That's my thing. I can't float. It's too hard. Too heavy. So so I stick to the basketball court and eat whatever Schaefer has on the grill. And we'll just stick to that.
Is Schaefer a good cook? Is he a better coach than griller, or a better griller than coach?
Definitely a better coach than griller. I ain't gonna front. One time I had some chicken. I thought it was still alive. I didn't know what was wrong with it. I didn't know. I had a heartbeat. I didn't tell him. I just threw it away. I didn't let him know. They were disappointed.
What can you say, Drew? Would you agree?
Coach Schaefer, he does a really good job of making barbecue chicken. I don't know what Ron was talking about, but his barbecue chicken was one of the best barbecue chicken.
He must got a wing.
Between his and Coach Kyle Lucas, best chicken I've had in a while.
Now, I want to give some credit to coaches that people don't usually always see out in the limelight. I try to get them out on the show and get people to learn about them a little bit more. DeAndre Smith, your running backs coach. Tim Dallas, the defensive line coach, also does a lot of other things. I want to start with DeAndre and what you can say about DeAndre, because I know he's a character and I know he's got a big personality, but not a lot of people always see him. So what can you tell us about DeAndre Smith and what goes on behind the scenes for the running backs at Syracuse?
Like Dan said, he has a big personality, but he's only about 5'5", 5'6", but has a really big personality. But Coach Smith, man, he does a good job of being down to earth and not so far up where we can't talk to him about what's going on in our life or what we have going on. But he keeps the room even, he makes us push ourselves, and he gives a little humor to it. We get a little humor in the room. Coach Smith, yeah, big personality, small guy.
Tim Dallas, who, if you've never been to a Syracuse practice, in front of his own baby daughter, doesn't mince words, doesn't hide how he feels, gives that tough love, and he also has a lot of comedy when he's doing defensive line drills that I've been exposed to and gotten to see a lot, and you kind of learn about the character of Tim Dallas a little bit if you spend enough time watching the D-line. What can you say, Jay, about what you know about Tim Dallas and how he's treated you out there on the field?
Tim Dallas is a character, man. He's a funny guy, and he makes sure he gets the most out of us. You know, he works us pretty hard, but you know, he's realistic and he tries to teach us the right things. If you don't know what Tim Dallas looks like, think of Barney Rubble. He looks just like Barney Rubble, like to the teeth, you know, and right from, you know, Bear Rock. So, I mean, I think that he really helps us, you know, build ourselves as men, to make us work hard and be really physical as players. But the good part about him is he's real. So when you walk inside his room, it's nothing but laughs. You know, it's like a fart-friendly zone, kind of.
Fart-friendly.
Like, he likes to fart. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like that too much because I was in the front row and I was right next to him.
Hey,
so I didn't like that. But, you know, that's something I had to deal with.
Our D-line room.
And we just have fun in our D-line room. He made it a joyful experience.
You both dealt with rotation during your time at Syracuse. Tim Dallas is a fan of rotating the line. Obviously, you get a lot of reps, and as time went on, you're out there more and more. But how did you kind of learn from that experience, and how does that help you grow that you had a coach that really wanted to see a little bit of everybody?
I'm probably the worst guy to ask this question, because ever since my sophomore year, I've always played, you know, a lot of reps, you know, so, but it's been a blessing because I've worked extremely hard to put myself in great, you know, shape to play those reps and everything like that. But it's good that he wants to see a lot of people. He gives people the opportunity to show what they can do, and if they can, you know, make plays, then he allows that to happen. But in my case, I was out there running linebackers, so it was. But it was good for me to, you know, put the team on my back, so to speak, and just go out there and try to make plays and help my team.
Jerome, on your side, you've gotten a lot of reps out there. You share a lot of time with Prince Tyson Belly. When he's healthy and he's been out there, he's obviously had a lot of good moments. Devontae McFarland got in the end zone. George Morris got in the end zone. So what can you say, not only about your experience with the guys, but what Syracuse can expect from this backfield, even though you're not going to be there?
2 years ago, I had a really good opportunity with me and Tyson, and We called all types of nicknames, 1-2 punch, slash dad. I thought that was going to happen again, and then we had some young guys step up who added a new element to the game. Man, Jordan, Devontae, man, those young guys, they pushed us to the women to where I dropped her on the line, and they made me come to work, and that's where the hey, is never in the barn kind of came from. That made me get up every day and go to work, because I know I had young guys who really wanted to play behind me, and really eager to get a chance to work. For the future, I think they're going to be really, really good. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were with me. I think Jordan, Devontae, and Tyson, one of them this year, will have a 1,000-yard season, if not both of them. I'm thinking 2,000-yard backs this year, and they know I'll be watching, and I'll still keep the competition going. I'll still put pressure on them.
The hay is never in the barn. Everybody's gotten to know you for this. T-shirts made of it. It's on Twitter almost every single day. Where did it come from, and why is this the one that you've stuck to more than any other statement that you've had?
About 4 years ago, I met my kind of my mentor now, Antoine Bailey. And when he left and I became a starter, the very spring he left, I called him. Hey, Antoine, I'm a starter. And he says one thing to me that hangs up. He says, the hay is never in the barn. I'm going to call you back. Hung up. So I text him and say, what does that mean? He said, figure it out. So I do my research, and basically like 3 weeks pass, and I hit him back, and I go, it means you never stop working. It means every day the hay is outside the barn, so you got to put it inside the barn. He goes, yeah, something like that. So from that, I ran with it, and it's worked out for me. Clearly, you know, it definitely gets me going, and it gets other people going. I mean, I didn't even know the effect it would have on other people. And now other people use it when they work out, and people send me the tweet before I even get up sometimes in the morning. And that's what you want to do. You want to influence people. You want to make people do something that you believe in. It's a great feeling knowing that other people are wearing the hey is never in the barn t-shirts or saying it when they get up.
Now Jay, for you, outside of the hey is never in the barn that we know from Jerome,
he's never even seen hey.
When you
from New York City, he's never even seen hey. Have you seen hey?
Never seen hey, never jumped in the East River. It
looks like drawn grass. You don't know what it is.
Now, for you, what's a statement that sticks with you, a mission statement for you? If you had, do you have one? And if not, if you had to come up with one on the spot, what's something that sticks out in your mind?
Self-made.
Like that. Like the hay is never in the barn.
Well, Jerome just said self-made, but that's just something that, you know, we are because we work so hard, you know, that we've done it from the beginning. But mine is something I was told a long time ago by my high school coaches. The highs are never too high, the lows are never too low. And it doesn't matter how good you think you're doing or you are doing, you know, it's never too high for you to be, you know, brought down to earth. And when you think you're doing horrible, like, you know, Jerome was 4-8, it's not that bad. The lows are never too low, you know what I'm saying? But you improve on, you know, as long as you're blessed with the opportunity to keep working, then you have the will and the want to and the desire to do so, then you can change the outcome of things, and that's great, and that's what I go by.
Now, with both of you guys, when you get an opportunity to step away from football, to not have to train, and I know you don't take many breaks, but when you go home and you're around family, Delaware guy coming from Queens, I'll start with you, Jay. What do you do when you go back home? I mean, obviously, we know you don't swim. We know you don't have a horse. So what do you do when you're back in Queens?
When I'm in Queens, I'm just relaxing, man. If I'm not at home, you know, with my mom, my sisters, and my niece, you know, relaxing, I get up and I go to my old high school, and all the people still know me there, from the security guards to the teachers and my coaches, and even all the young guys that, you know, I'm kind of like an inspiration to them from my school, being the first guy to go to Division I, the first guy to go to the combine. You know, these things are big deals to my school. And every time I walk in there, it's like some people walk by and I'm like, oh, you're that guy I see on TV. And I'm like, I
guess so, you know. So it's a good feeling to have that kind of effect on people, you know, to go back and do that. So other than that, I'm watching movies. I'm going to see my family, my grandma. I'm just enjoying the opportunity to see people that I don't get to see because all I do is work out here in Syracuse.
As far as you, Jerome, Delaware, tell us all what you do in Delaware. I talked to Isaiah Johnson, defensive lineman, and he said, there's not much. So what do you do when you go back to Delaware?
This is very true. There's not much to do in Delaware. Well, much of my stuff is the same as Brownlee's. You get a chance off, you really just want to relax and be around family. Me and my little brother started to play football. He started to play sports. So now you see the enjoyment at home playing. I'm his biggest fan. He doesn't even know. He probably thinks he's my biggest fan. I'm his biggest fan. I like hearing about his stories of his game, his first game, what happened last game. Did you record it? I got questions like that for him. So when you're home, man, it's just a really good chance to be around family and kind of be away from everything you got going on up here. My family probably doesn't ask me too much about football unless I bring it up now. That's my life. I want to get away from it sometimes.
Before we take our next break here, for you, Jerome, to start with you, what is Syracuse giving you, the city? I'm not talking about the team, Scott Schaefer, Doug Rowe, I'm not talking about any of that, but the whole experience of being in the city, being around these fans, what are you taking away from Syracuse?
We have a really good fan base. We're not as big as Alabama. No, we haven't won the championships that they have, but they support us through it all. I think we're definitely a fan base that's growing. I think we're getting better with traveling and getting better and acting out the dome with basketball and football. So, man, the fans support you, man. It's good. I love Syracuse since I've been here.
Jay, what can you say about the fans here at Toby Keith's, in Destin, USA, in the Dome, everywhere you go, the ones that say, aren't you that guy on television?
That's that guy.
I love the fans, man. I actually just got my first taste of, I guess somebody actually knew me the other day when I ordered some food, and the delivery guy said, are you related to Jay Brownlee? And I said, yeah, that's me. And he said, oh my God, I gotta shake your hand. And that was kind of cool, you know. That was my first time experiencing something like that. I appreciate, you know, the fans, because, you know, if it wasn't for them coming to our games and believing in us, we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in. And no matter what we do, they always support us. We're losing games and winning games. They support us with different things. So you got to respect that, and you got to appreciate that from these fans and people that come out spending hard money just to watch us suffer with you for free.
Well, before we take a break, you promised me that when I delivered that pizza to your house that you weren't going to tell anybody about that story. You promised me that, Jay. So, you know, I got a wake-up call, but Domino's is good. I like Domino's.
Man gets it.
We will take a break here. Tony USA. Jay Brownlee, Jerome Smith from Syracuse on the way to the NFL. We're going to come back one last time before we get out. If you didn't get an autograph and you haven't talked to the guys, come up and do so now. I thank Destiny USA, Black Tie Entertainment, and Toby Keats, along with Dance to Our Broadcast Media, for making this possible for you. Welcome back here to Toby Keats. Inside Destiny USA, we're here with Jerome Smith, Jay Brownlee. It's hard for me to keep a straight face having the conversation we just had off the air, but I will do my best. I'll do my best. I don't want to embarrass Jerome. But all I want to say about Jerome is we may be cousins very soon. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud to call you my cousin.
Yeah,
so
yeah, looking like.
Getting back here with Jerome Smith, Jay Brownlee, playing for Syracuse, heading to the NFL, part of the NFL Combine, Pro Day coming up on March 26th. Let's get off of football for a minute here, because when we talk on the show, when we talk on Wake Up Call with Dan Spark, we talk about life. And both of you guys have been through a lot of things in your lives, and you both grew up without a biological father. That father figure there for you all the time. I always felt blessed to have the father I had, But talking to you guys, talking to a lot of football players, I would say 99.9% tell me that they grew up in a single household or without a dad. So I don't only respect you for the guys that I know that you are, I respect you even more because you didn't have somebody standing there at all times from the beginning, and you still are the guys that you are. So Jerome, I want to start with you about your life, your upbringing, and what made you the man that you are today.
Well, I grew up in a rough city in Pennsylvania. My mom moved us out when I was about 12, and she just worked really hard for me and my siblings, and that's what kind of pushes me now. My younger sister, she's actually deaf in 1 year, so, I mean, anytime I have a lot of issues or anything that's going on that's bothering me, I mean, I just go see her. I mean, her day is different than mine. I can hear everything. She can't hear the same conversations I'm hearing. And my mom just taught us to be blessed about everything that we have, and every endeavor that we go into it full heart and hard work. And she teaches us to work hard for everything, because nothing's given. Nothing's given. We learned that when we were young.
And what about you, Jay? We talked a little bit about your family life last time you were on the show. What would you say here tonight?
It's just a blessing to get this far because, not growing up without a father, a real father figure, a positive guy to look up to. Growing up is tough, you know, coming from where we come from and a lot of negativity in those, you know, poverty neighborhoods. We get, you know, swallowed up by, you know, crime and things like that quick. But I was blessed enough to have coaches that, you know, believed in me and that could, you know, be those role models and lead me, you know, to a better life and everything like that. You know, my aunt and my uncle raised me to the best of their ability, you know, but they couldn't save me from things that, you know, turned me to a man and my decision making right from wrong. And I'm glad I had people like my past coach Rudy to help me out with that and help me be the man I am today.
Now, Jay, I heard not only from Tim Dowse, but also from this man sitting right next to you, Jerome Smith, that in a positive way, you deserve everything that happens to you from here on out. Tim said it without flinching. Jerome said it same way, that they feel like you deserve the best. How do you respond to hearing that from your position coach and hearing it from Jerome?
It means a lot to me, you know, from people that, you know, I share a bond with, you know, Jerome. This is my brother, man. Everything that's happening right now with our lives as far as football, we've talked about this in like it's almost like some type of butterfly effect or something, because we've sat in the car and we've just talked about how hard we're going to work and what we're going to do for our families and the position we're going to be in. So to hear that, and I hear that from a lot of people, like, you deserve what you're going to get, you know? And I'm the type of guy that never counts his eggs before they hatch. I'm not in the NFL yet, so, you know, I don't want to just, you know, put myself there yet. I have a lot of hard work to do. But I definitely appreciate what they got to say about me, because I work extremely hard, you know, and I feel like I'm a good person. I do what I can for the people I care about. And I think it shows, and I appreciate those guys for that.
What can you say to Jerome that you want him to know? Because he's paid you so many compliments when him and I have talked. What can you say about this guy?
I love him, man. He's my brother, man. You know, I never had a brother my age growing up. And coming to this football team, I've got a lot of brothers, you know. Just guys that passed on in the NFL or not NFL, and guys on the team now. And this is probably one of the closest ones I have, period, you know. And he showed me a lot of different things, helped me grow up as a man and learn about, you know, what to come with females or just playing football and just, you know, mentally the grind of what we do. And if I had anything to say to him, man, love him, man. I know he works for it. He's going to get what he deserves as well. And you know, let's take this Syracuse thing as far as we can go.
What can you say in response to him now that you've heard from a guy that, you know, obviously cares about you, has looked out for you, went to the combine with you? What can you say back to Jay?
I appreciate that, man. Like you said, we're going to take this Syracuse thing as far as we can take it. We're going to ride it to the wheels fall off. The friendships and relationships we made 4 years ago when we came to Syracuse, we intended on being a better football program and a better family. So I think we're starting to answer some of those things as far as football, as far as being a better football team, and as well as being better friends and family off the field. It makes a difference.
Three times in the last 4 years, Syracuse goes to a bowl game. You guys have either been out on the field or on the sideline during that time. Every single bowl game has been a victory for Syracuse. What does that do for you, and what does it do for this school that there's been these three bowl games that you've gotten victories from, and no matter how you got there, you always came through at the end? What does that mean for Syracuse University and for all these fans that head out to the Dome on a Saturday?
We're constantly working. Although some people might see bowl games as an extracurricular type of deal, we take it on as the next game. We take it on as serious. We take on a conference opponent. We take a bowl game the same way. And just know, I mean, regardless of what people think, we take it serious and we're working. And guys already are up 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. They'll be up at 6 a.m. getting our next workout on, getting the next step to winning a big championship, ACC championship, a national championship. Like, all those things are coming.
Jay, what can you say about it?
I said, Biggie's. You know, we work extremely hard, and we're blessed to do what we do. And like he said, these guys are getting up 6 o'clock and they're working out for the future of this program. Syracuse has taught us a lot, and that's allowed us to take the next step to, you know, in our careers and what we believe in. So given this opportunity, we want to take it and do the most we can so that we can pave the way for the guys coming after us and set good examples.
I want to open it up to, I know there's a couple questions out here. We got a mic set up here, so if you have a question, you can come up and ask that question, or you can let us know what that question is, and I'll give it to you. So we got somebody coming up here. I'll let you go right over to the mic.
My question is, who else do you guys refer you by? What other schools do you guys get recruited by?
I wasn't recruited by anyone. I didn't have any scholarship offers coming out of school. Zero, zilch. I was planning on going to community college and seeing where I could take it from there. Syracuse called me late June and offered me a scholarship after I did compete in an all-star game in New York City. And it's history since then. Came in, played as a freshman, started every year after that.
Story.
A little bit different than Brown. My first offer was to Wisconsin. First offer was to Wisconsin. I turned that down. I wanted to play at Syracuse. I loved the education. I loved everything about Syracuse. That was history.
Recruiting-wise, it's a little bit different world. A few years back, when you're being recruited, you get to make that decision. You know, a couple of schools come calling, it's your choice. Now in the NFL, it's their choice. So this role reversal for you guys, what's that been like? And I'll start with you, Jerome, to be the guy that gets to say, no, I'm not going to go to that school, I want to go here. And when it comes to the NFL, they're choosing you and you're going wherever they want you to go.
It makes you think twice about everything you do, because there's somebody always watching, regardless of what you think. The NFL doesn't want anybody that has problems. So your best goal is to stay away from problems and do the right thing at all times. And I think Jason and some of the guys that are here right now training, they know these things, so we're pretty focused on staying out of the way and doing all the right things and doing the right thing so those teams can come draft us, pick us up in free agency.
What about you, Jay?
We're just doing the best to put ourselves in a position to be picked up, to be drafted as high as possible. You know, our talents are tip of this guard, and it's giving us the opportunity to be at the NFL combine, to be amongst the best in the world. So, with that said, it's a waiting game. You know, you have to be excited about it and be thankful for the opportunity to do it. And whoever picks us up will be lucky, because they'll get too hard working on Orange. They'll do everything it takes to help a team be successful.
Let's go away from football here for a minute. And take a look at some of the things. I mean, you guys both brought up movies, music. I mean, I know when you guys take a break, you like to relax, watch a movie. I know that you said to me in the last interview on Wake Up Call of Dance Tour that what calms you down is having your music right before you get out there on the field. So let's do movies and let's do music and let everybody know everybody's got a passion for something. What's your favorite movie? And if I had to put one song on for you and we were going out in the dome right now on the field, what song would that be?
Well, my favorite movie is Independence Day with Will Smith. That's my favorite movie.
That's a great movie.
Great movie. And if I had one song to go out to, I mean, it would be a song called Go Hard by Kanye West, you know, so I just got to go out there and go hard for my team and go hard for, you know, my brothers next to me, you know, and that's what really drives me to go out there and play at a high level.
And Jerome's favorite movie and then one song that you would need to hear before going out on the field?
My favorite movie is Training Day. I'm a big Denzel Washington fan. If it had to be a song, I would say I'm a little split between Moment of Clarity by Jay-Z and New York with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
Now, New York with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys just so happened to be the song that played after every Syracuse home game in the dome. Did you have anything to do with that?
I might have pulled a little bit of strength.
Now, I got to ask you both about this. When touchdowns were scored in the dome, and even sometimes outside of the dome, there was that freight train sound that you never hear. So, I mean, this is the first time they instituted. They didn't do it for every single touchdown, but I will say it changed the dynamic for me at the dome, and for being a guy that's covering not only you guys but covering the fans, they liked it a lot more to hear something like that. Where did it come from? How did it get started? And where did this decision come that the freight train is what Syracuse is going to be heard as being connected to? And I'll start with you, Jerome. Don't take all the credit.
It came from Express and our video that we played before the game, just being on the train, getting on the train or getting out the way. So when we scored touchdowns, the train was a good little thing we wanted to do. I even think auto rides out on the train, on the back of the train, I think, when it comes out before a game. But it's definitely new. It helps with freedom when you do things like that. When you start doing new things that help the program out. It helps out with recruiting. It helps out with the fans being happier. It helps out with the players. We enjoy all those things. Instead, you enjoy it. So.
Jay, what was it like for you to hear that?
Defense up.
It was cool. Yeah, defense up. You know, I think we're all in something to do with that. You know, the bus. You know, so it was a cool thing. It was just something new to have after the touchdown scored, and you know, it made the fans get a little loud. So that was the beauty of that.
I want to go back to the Boston College game in the last 6 seconds because everybody's running out onto the field, and to have a moment like that in your career is something that I don't think you guys are ever going to forget. Offense, defense, special teams, doesn't matter. Bring me into the sideline for you, Jay, with the offense out there and Josh Paris going in for that touchdown. What's going through your head and what are you saying? What are you sharing? Bring me down to the sideline. Bring all the fans to the sideline. What's going through your mind? If you can say, well, now, see, I don't know a company, so you can swear on your mom. If you did, if you swore, or you blew yourself up. What did you say?
Please don't throw a pick. Please do not throw a pick. I mean, that's really what was going through my head. Like, I was like, T. Hunt, man, just give the ball to somebody. I mean, don't run the ball. Just don't throw it. Please don't throw it. but it was fun, man. It was like, defense, we did everything in our power to give the offense an opportunity to win the game. And we gave them the opportunity, and they took the reins, and they did that. And, you know, they showed a lot of resilience, and T. Hunt had to give him his life that game. So it was really coming out part of him.
Jerome, you're on the offense. You're in that moment. You're on the field. And Josh Paris gets that opportunity. What's going through your mind, and what are you thinking? And were you on Jay's same wavelength saying, give me the ball, Terrell, don't you throw that ball?
Something is thinking in the back of my mind, I want the ball, but we were a little further up. We caught a play where I was just supposed to protect the front side and make sure nobody got
fumbled it backwards. Josh caught it. He actually caught it on the Delaware side, so I'm happy about that. I take pride in being the pride of Delaware, but he caught it on the Delaware guy, and when he scored, it was kind of surreal. It was the best game I ever played. Best game I ever played.
But Boston College being the best one that you've ever played in, let's go to the game after it. I promise that we were talking about the Texas Bowl. You got to leave on a high note at the end of the season. If you had beaten BC and nothing happened, it was a great moment. You get called into the Texas Bowl. You get an opportunity to go there and play Minnesota. Syracuse never been to the Texas Bowl before. And you got to leave Texas in a special way. And I'm going to start with you, Jerome, because you're a Cowboy fan. What was it like going to Texas and getting the Texas Bowl?
I really didn't think about the Cowboys during that part of it. I really just was thinking about winning for my team and going out on top with my brothers, like Jason said. A lot of things didn't come up. We only have one agenda. I wasn't thinking about leaving school earlier. I wasn't thinking about winning the conditioning. I was thinking about just winning the game one last time with my boys, going out on top.
What about you, Jay? Knowing that no matter what, that was your last game.
Enjoy it. You're going to have to jack me up the field to get me on this field, man. Like I told you before, versus Boston College, there was no way I'm getting off that field. There was times where I was dog tired, but I was going to leave that field. I felt like if we were on the field, I gave our team a better chance to win. So I wasn't going to leave that field because I wanted to win. I wanted at least one more week with my brother. So I just, we had to go out there and get the W. You don't want to, leave your school with a loss. And that was the main thing.
I want to start with you, Jay, with this one. When you look back on everything that you had the opportunity to do at Syracuse and everything that you accomplished, you look at the Texas Bowl win, you look at all the victories. One thing that you guys did, you and Jerome, is you beat West Virginia 3 years in a row. And the statement after that West Virginia game, the last one in the Pinstripe Bowl, was three strikes, you're out. You heard West Virginia talk negatively about Syracuse every single time. You beat them every single time. Three strikes, you're out. What's it like for Syracuse to say goodbye to West Virginia before they went to the Big 12, beat them twice, and then beat them again in the Pinstripe Bowl?
I feel like it was all supposed to happen. That's what it feels like. It feels like it was all meant to happen. It's a great rivalry between, us two teams. And I bring it up now. When I was training with William Clark, defensive end from West Virginia, I told him, he's a job in the Stars. And we laugh about that, to this day. And it's really just something that, we can hang our hats on, that, what we go against West Virginia, we never take a loss versus that team. And it's something to be proud of.
What about you, Joe?
Kind of along with Bronny said about the tradition of the rivalry. We take pride in keeping the Ben Switzerland Trophy back in Syracuse and probably never losing it again, so it'll be here for eternity. So we take pride in that, man. He has a Syracuse versus West Virginia shirt, and we take pride in that, man. We take pride in winning, beating teams that were in our old conference or that we have rivalries with. That's why I think the Boston College game was such a big game, because it was our first time playing in a while. I think we've been playing since freshman year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, first time playing since freshman year, and it was just getting that rivalry going back, especially when we're open ACC now. So it was good for the program, for both programs.
Lastly, here from Toby Keys of Destiny USA with Black Tie Entertainment, Dance Floor Broadcast Media, Jerome. Looking at from here on out, what'd you think it was, Jay? That was ACC?
No, I was just going to say they're not in ACC.
Oh, okay. No, but my last question for you tonight. Tonight, as you may be back, you may have that opportunity. The last question I have for you, Jerome, is out of everything that you've done, every team that you've beaten, every moment that you've had, what's one thing that Syracuse fans don't know about the Orange, whether it's celebrating in the locker room, something in practice? What's one story that sticks out to you that these fans at this point deserve to know, because no matter what, you're done for?
point that Syracuse fans need to know?
A secret, an orange secret. Give us a slice of the orange.
Can't do that. I can't do it.
You promised me no secrets.
It's a secret, man. What goes on in our team is just on our team. I'll leave it at that.
Give me a favorite moment that you have that you're going to take with you. We talked about BC. We talked about West Virginia, Pinstripe Bowl, Texas Bowl. Outside of all those, is there any moment that lasts with you, a special time that you have that you're going to take with you to the NFL?
Going to Fort Drum with my teammates. That was one of the toughest and one of the best times in my life. You were shut off from anything, cell phones, internet, TV. You were shut off from all that. All you had was each other. It made you get through the tough times. I mean, I don't think it's uncommon for players to be mad at coaches and be tired of coaches. That was our time to bend against coaches. When we got back to the dorms and got back to the shacks, we vented about our coaches. That time you'll never get again, spending it with these guys and getting ready for another big year with these guys.
Jay, what can you say? A lasting memory for you here at Syracuse?
Get the secret out of him.
Or you can give a secret. Now, Jerome promised me before this that there would be no secrets left off the table, but apparently,
between me and you. And obviously, Jerome's a liar. That's something that we need to get out of the way. No secrets over here, man. It's just, you know, I guess what happens in the locker room, we know it's kind of what we do. But as far as lasting moments, just being around my teammates is something I'm always going to remember, because the relationships you build with these people for the rest of your lives, you're never going to forget. Going to Fort Drum, the first time I went to Fort Drum, I couldn't even practice. Yeah, I was on the bike the whole time. In the grass doing sit-ups and push-ups. So that's something I always remember, you know. And then going the second time, being able to go with my teammates and actually perform and actually do well, was something I always remember. I think just the camaraderie of the team and everything that we went through together, from the 6 a.m.s and times when you thought you were going to die and you couldn't go any further and you actually, you know, persevered and got through, those are the things that I probably look back and remember the most.
Jay Bromley, Jerome Smith. There may be a Madden challenge. There may be something else going on here, but we most likely will have an opportunity to get back together, maybe involve some of those other captains that we had here at Syracuse. I want both of you guys to stand up, and I want everyone here in Toby Keith's, if you respect Syracuse sports, respect these gentlemen, I want you to give a round of applause for all their effort today as they take off the game. They deserve it. Get ready for the NFL draft, did the combine, and here with me for Wake Up Call with Dan Satora and two of the best guys that I've met in the business. So thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you to Black Tie Entertainment as well.
Thanks, bro.